Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, we finish our interview with the legendary Disney Imagineer, Terry Hardin.
DL Weekly starts now.
Ah, buenos dias, señorita. My siestas are getting shorter and shorter. Oh, look at all the people listening. Welcome to DL Weekly's Enchanted Podcast. Hey, Tag and Teresa, mi amigos. Pay attention, it's show time.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of August 10th, 2022. I'm Tag Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. We would like to send a shout out and a thank you to all of our current weekly tiers for supporting the show. Without your support, DL Weekly would not be possible. Your support ensures that the podcast will continue and that we can make it to the parks more often to bring you the latest and greatest news and information straight from the parks. If you would like to become an official weekly tier, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to sign up.
Well, we have some details about our D23 meetup. We will have a weekly tier meetup at the Disneyland Hotel at the fireplace near Trader Sam's on Saturday, September 10th from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. If you could stop by for any amount of time, please feel free. We will also be at the expo the entire weekend, so if you see us around, please say hi.
So this week, we're doing something a little different. We actually do not have any updated news or trivia for you this week because Tag is off enjoying a Southern Caribbean cruise right now. Please enjoy part three, the final part of our interview with the lovely Terry Hardin.
We're getting off topic, but I also loved Captain EO.
Yes.
Because I went because I wanted to work with Francis Ford Coppola. I love the Godfather series.
Yeah.
But Michael Jackson turned out to be a magical experience to work opposite him and to get to know him as a friend. And I knew him up until the day he died. It was amazing.
Wow. Wow. That's so cool. That's so cool.
What a remarkable human being.
Mm-hmm.
But actors want to do what they love. And it's a bittersweet because being famous is not necessarily fun. I think unless you're the Kardashians, I think they like being famous. But most people don't like being famous. You know, they can't shop for themselves anymore. Mm-hmm. They can't enjoy certain areas because some people just forget themselves. And it's something that you've got to, it's something that a lot of people say, I got to deal with it. I got to work with it. You know, it's something that I've got to wrangle. Mm-hmm. But that was Michael. I mean, I think Michael enjoyed people. It's just that people got really crazy around him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When we were doing Captain EO, they would, you know, one time some people broke through the studio. Some fans had been standing outside the gates and they got through.
Wow.
And they started cutting things off the man, cutting locks of hair, cutting his clothes. Can you imagine?
That's insane.
Can you imagine people? Just imagine someone running towards you with scissors.
Right. Yeah. Wow.
You know what I mean? It's nuts.
Yeah. People forget that, yes, they're celebrities, but they are they're still people. They're still human beings.
And it doesn't happen to everybody, but it did to him.
Yeah.
No one would ever do that to Elizabeth Taylor.
Okay,
but Michael, just something about Michael that people just thought, I want to touch him. I want some of that magic. I want some of that mojo. So it was terrifying to me.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, to watch that, you know, so... Mm-hmm. Luckily, Stevie Wonder loaned his bodyguard to Michael when he was doing Captain EO. And Chucky was about 6'10". So he would just walk over. He'd go, let me show you what I do for Michael. And he would just pick people up and toss them.
Yeah, yeah.
Dang. That's not being polite.
Mm.
You're not being kind, push. You know. It was just hilarious.
Dang.
You know, so I'm taking my dog. My dog is like, I need to go out, Mama. Please.
No, that is
please
totally
let
fine.
Let me go out. So she's outside while I'm talking to you now. She's enjoying the cooler weather. But honestly, you know, it's amazing when you talk to someone and you say, and you see it from their eyes, you go, wow, this is why he's a little nuts.
Yeah.
You know, because people just come into his world and people he respected act like they're call girls, or they act really weird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was strange. It was really strange to see that, you know?
Dang.
But I loved him. I loved him. Angelica Houston, you're absolutely right, Tej. Angelica Houston told them, no, there's no way in heck I'm going to fly 20 feet in the air, get somebody else. So all of her scenes were done 5 feet. 5 feet up. They pulled her up 5 feet off of a table and then performed. And then she came down and she got a massage. That's what happens when you're an Academy Award nominee and then you later win. It was absolutely too much. Mm-hmm. But me, they pulled me up to 20 feet. I was terrified of Angelica Houston. So we looked so much alike, he couldn't tell the difference. Mm. I had to be let down and the guy just let go of the rope. And I come streaking 20 feet down and he grabs it before my nose is broken on the pavement.
Oh my gosh.
So you know your positions. But I came around the corner and I said, Michael Jackson. And I scared the crap out of him. I said, you got to get this right, buddy. It's just me up there. It's just Terry. It's not Angelica. And that's how he was able to do the character of Captain EO, because he was really afraid of her. So there were some really interesting situations. And a guy just reached out to me who was the staff photographer on Captain EO. Mm-hmm. And he put a bunch of pictures. He does a podcast too. I can't tell you exactly what it's called because I just reconnected with him. But he sent me some pictures from Captain EO, and one of them he thought was Angelica, and it's me.
Oh,
in the witch makeup.
So cool.
And I have most of my witch makeup shots are long shots.
Mm-hmm.
Reason being, because you're not supposed to recognize me.
Right.
Right.
Her. So most of I have like one picture, but it's very fuzzy and everything. This one is me standing and talking to the camera while I'm taking a break. And I can tell because of the jeans that the person is wearing.
Mm.
Because they're my jeans. So I know.
Right.
So it's very exciting to see
that. Wow.
And that was really cool. So that's going to be, I'm going to take that down, I'm going to take that down to DizCon. Because they say, take interesting pictures you think somebody might like to have that you may, you know, so... But I was really happy to get that one. So, yeah, that was a really fun job. I got to dance with Michael and Poppin' Taco and Poppin' Reggie, which are pop lockers, who did the robot characters.
Oh, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. That's so cool.
It was fun. So one of the times with the collectors group, we screened the movie and the show. And then I showed them all of the little hacks that are in there. You know, what happens here? See how these guys change ethnicities? Would you like to know why? When they jump, you know, when they're in the pillars and they jump down behind Michael, they change cultures. One, a Mexican becomes a black guy, and a black guy becomes a, I don't know. But the reason for that is because Michael wanted you to see the faces of Poppin' Taco and Poppin' Reggie, and they were in suits most of the time. So that's why they switched.
Wow.
But, yeah, that's why they switched. So there's all kinds of stuff like that.
Wow.
A lot of fun. There was Michael Standen was a woman, and from behind you could not tell the difference. They both looked like twins.
That's crazy.
And it was really cool. She was very excited that she got that role.
Yeah.
And I think he liked that too. So it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
So fun.
Teresa was just saying a minute ago that like we need to like watch this again at some point because
there's so much to it. There's so many layers to it.
Because I saw it when it was still in its first run back when I first went to the parks, and then it went away, and then they brought it back as like the tribute version or whatever for after he passed. And so I remember seeing it, I think, once then too, and I was like, man, I need to. I'm looking at some, you know, I just did a quick, you know, internet search, and I was like, wow, like, I don't really remember a lot of this, even though it didn't, I mean, I guess he passed a long time ago at this point. It feels like it wasn't that long
ago. Yeah, I wish they'd bring it back, because it really is a great show for a while.
Well, and do something with that space.
Yeah, it's nothing right now.
They keep using it to kind of say upcoming movies, but people can go to a movie theater to see that.
Yeah, and especially with how quickly the turnaround is with video now, you know, I feel like you don't have to promo a movie as long as you used to. And even theater to home watch is like
it's
the blink of an eye now too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, pandemic. The guys are going, thank you, pandemic.
Yeah,
we're glad you did that. We're really appreciate that. But you know, it's still great to have the movie experience, but you're absolutely right. And I think it would be great to put Captain EO there, or Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, which was also fun.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have anything to do with that, but I sure love that show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Disney World still has Muppet 3D, which is one of my favorites.
Yes, yes.
So that's cool.
Can you talk a little bit about your pumpkin carving that you do every year? The sculpting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's that.
I feel like you have your hands in about 30 different things, so.
Well, I have 3 Wikipedia pages, I'm told.
Oh, Lord.
Nice to know. I think that's a little greedy, but I'm not allowed to do those. So somebody feels I warrant several different Wikipedia pages. But
wow.
Here's what happened. And it's my mouth. Okay. I have to be honest with you. I started sculpting. I watched pumpkin sculpting. I saw it in the newspaper. Mm-hmm. And I said, ooh, look at this. This is cool. I never thought there was other ways to sculpt pumpkins. In the past, I have been. If you saw it last year, I was the judge. And if you saw it any time back to 2005, I was the judge. So we'll use that bit. But the point is I teach pumpkin sculpting. And in Anaheim this year, I'm going to do my second class. I'm going to do I have a very nice lady who has offered. She has a huge home. And I teach people how to pumpkin sculpt. Now, why do we do a pumpkin? Well, because the definition, most people, when you ask them, are they an artist? They don't raise their hand because they think you've got to be a sculptor, illustrator, you know, do music, do theater, do something in the quote unquote arts. But I always say that the definition of an artist is someone who's passionate about what they do. Art comes in many, many forms. People paint with many different brushes.
Yeah.
So, for example, I have an accountant who is a maestro, a master. She does with numbers what I do with play. So I am very grateful to have someone that like that in my life, because when it comes to numbers and me, I'm Miss Not Good. So this is what I'm talking about. I remember this accountant saying, I've never thought of it that way. Well, you need to. Mm-hmm. If you're passionate about your work, I mean, just think of the people that have crossed your life, the doctor who's really bored or the doctor who is a calling. Mm-hmm. Is that doctor not an artist?
Yeah.
All about you. So I wanted people to discover their inner artist. I wanted them to know that they had the potential. Everybody has the potential. It just needs to be released by the right teacher. And a Disney crowd was the one that taught me that lesson. I spoke at a Disney gathering for the Disney and a fan club, and they all said, could you do a class?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, sure. And they all wanted to do Disney. Unlike many teachers who teach pumpkin sculpting, I don't make you do the same thing. I don't want you all to sculpt Mickey Mouse in a pumpkin.
Right.
I don't want you to all draw Mickey Mouse when I teach drawing, and I don't want you to all sculpt Mickey Mouse when I teach sculpting.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why. Because beginners do one thing that makes me and them crazy. They lean to the left or right and look at their partner and go, yours is better.
That's true. That's very true.
And I don't want that to happen in my class. And the way that I ensure that it doesn't is to let y'all do what you want. Doesn't happen in my classes. People do what they want and I help you get there. Is it more work for the teacher? Yes. It really is. My mind has really got to come up with how you can do this. But everybody goes away happy. I have many pumpkin sculptors who are professionals making hundreds of thousands of dollars. Who think I'm some kind of a nut. They say to me, you should be doing all the same. And I say, you know, you teach your class your way, I'll do it mine.
Yeah.
They also believe you shouldn't light them. Okay. My sculpted versions are lit from inside.
Mm-hmm.
But many people who do pumpkin, professional pumpkin sculpting, do that kind of bas relief scrape method where it's a scene. It's kind of like a Van Gogh. Sunflowers on the face of a pumpkin and it lights through. It's kind of that scrapey kind of thing.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And that looks beautiful, but I still say you want it to light. So I teach people. And the reason I do this is because I'll get a student who's a beginner who through the whole class will tell me they suck. Oh. It's awful. I just can't. No, you got to go deeper. These are thick pumpkins. You got to carve a little further. Don't get after you just yet. Come on. Come on, keep it up. I wouldn't lie to you. And they're like, man, it looks terrible. Okay, let's try again. Let's venture forth. Come on, you can do it. And then we go to a room that's dark and we put a light in it. And then they burst into tears and go, it's so beautiful. Yeah. Did I do that? I go, yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. And then they put it out in front for Halloween, and someone will kick it because they think it's fake, or someone will ask them, who did that? The person will say, I did. And the person will, you know, the neighbors will go, I didn't know you had that ability. Most of them are thinking, yeah, neither did I. I say, don't tell them that. Just go, thank you. You know?
Yeah, they're incredible. So, I mean, right? Everyone's used to seeing carved pumpkins with the holes, but I feel like, I mean, that's an art, that's a skill, but this is a whole different level. They're so cool.
And you say to yourself after you've sculpted one, you just, your life changes. Be careful. Because all of a sudden, when you realize you're creative and you're whimsical and you're wonderful, like I know each and every one of you are, then God, you know, heaven knows what you're going to do next. Mm-hmm. I've had people write books. I've had people become, well, one, I was in a Midwest town, and he had me on his radio show. He was a DJ in the middle of, you know, like a corn town, you know, and a really lovely guy. And I was there because my best friend had left Hollywood to raise her children in the Midwest. And she created one of the scariest corn mazes on the universe. So I did a special appearance there. So he's interviewing me and he says, Terry's going to sculpt the pumpkin for us today. And I said, no, I'm not. You are. And all the blood drowned out of his face. It was, he had the webcam on so you could see what I was going to do, only to find out he was going to do it. And I said, do you really think I'm going to make you look terrible on your radio show? Come on. I got you. You got this. I got you. So he sculpted it. And he kept saying, I don't know how this is going to look, but observe us. See me do it live, you know. So after we were done, he put a light in it and he almost cried because he could not believe how well he had done. Mm-hmm. And he became mayor of his community. Mm-hmm. That gave him the confidence to run for flipping mayor.
Wow.
That's amazing. There's a testimonial for you, you know. It's just amazing. And you just go to yourself, the potential of people, if that's all it takes, is to sculpt a little pumpkin. And find out you're really good at sculpting a little pumpkin and you can conquer the world. Let's do it. You know, let me have you for a couple of hours and I will do my best to help you change your life. If that's what you want, if there's something out there that you want, you don't believe you can't get, let me see if together we can help you get it. It's basically what I say all the time.
What's so amazing to me is when we saw you at Disney Anna, one of the things, and you've done it here on this throughout this interview, is you really, you know, you've done so great for yourself, but at the same time, you want everyone else to achieve that same level of greatness, and you really are encouraging and passionate about it, and you really want to kind of unlock that with everybody. And I thought that was really inspiring because a lot of people, especially with people with like your background, could be more about themselves and look how great I am and look at all the stuff that I've made and yes, worship me or whatever. But then I feel like you were like, you know what? I've done some good stuff, but you can too. And I felt that a lot of what you talked about at Disneyana and on this show has been, look, I'm just a person like you. Like you were talking about your accountant doing art. Like, it's just amazing to think about things that way. Mm-hmm. And the fact that somebody who a lot of people might look up to, you know, is saying you could do it too is really, really awesome. And one of the things Teresa and I were so impressed by at Disney Anna was we all sat down to eat dinner and you went around to every table and talked to everybody and thanked everybody for coming and all this. It's not even your event. And I don't think you ate. I think they made you like a doggy bag or something.
There was a lot of people there.
There was a lot of people.
But it was so amazing.
Like, I was so grateful. You're so right. And thank you for noticing that. Disney Anna said they had, you saw all those Imagineers that they honor, that they showed in the beginning. They said the only other person that did that was Bill Justice.
Wow.
Man, isn't that company to be standing? I was like, really? Mm-hmm. I didn't do it to stand with Bill Justice. I felt like I'm so honored that everybody is here. And I want to know you as much as you want to know me. But Tage, Teresa, I mean, when somebody gets on and they're like, and I met this person and I met that person and we're beer buddies and blah, 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 blah. Aren't you out in the podcast world saying, what's in it for me? How does this benefit me? I like you. I think you're amazing. And I love the ride and I love telling you about, but don't, what's in it for me? And I kept thinking that. And the person whose fault it is my husband. My husband says, when you go to a party, if you can't pull three things from someone else that you spoke to, you're talking too much.
Oh,
this is a big wake up call for me, because you can see I can tell stories. And a lot of people love to sit back and just have me take the reins. But I'll turn around and say to them, tell me about you. What do you do? And I'm always fascinated, you know, and I'm always loving it. So I made it a point to, if I met Michael Jackson, what is in it for you having me meet Michael Jackson? You might be asking yourself. She talked about meeting Michael Jackson. She talked about how he's brilliant. You may have an opinion about the guy one way or another. I don't care. But here's what he does for you. Here's what he can help you maybe realize. One day, let me start over. I went to the set often of Captain EO to eat my lunch. It's called a hot set, meaning you're not supposed to be on there. But since I was on there 24/7, I knew where not to step. So to get a little peace and quiet, I would get my lunch and I would sit and eat it quietly on the steps of the stage every day of the Captain EO set. Just wanted a little time to myself. Mm-hmm. One day I heard tinkering or some sort of noise and I said, who's there? And it was Michael. Michael said, it's me. I'm just working on some stuff. And I said, you want me to leave? I was going to have lunch, but oh no, Terry, no. Come on in. It's okay. So we both sat on the steps and we had lunch together. Mm-hmm. And I said, Michael, why I got you all to myself? This is a rare occasion. I'm going to take advantage of it, may I? And he says, what do you mean? And I said, well, can I ask you a personal question? Mm-hmm. And I said, but don't say yes, because it will be personal, Michael. And he says, yes, of course. I said, okay, if I were a genie or I was the blue fairy and I came down and I said, Michael, for all your generosity, for all your kindness, for the music and joy you have brought so many people, I grant you, Michael Jackson, three wishes. What would they be?
Ooh.
That's what he said. Teresa, whoa. Yeah. Nobody's ever asked me that before. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And I said, call me nobody because I want to know. And he said, the first wish I would have is to get my childhood back. Mm-hmm. You may remember that at 4, he became gold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what do people do with gold, even if they're your parents? They keep you from climbing trees. They insulate you from things because you're the little moneymaker. You're the little rock star. You can't break a leg. You can't damage your voice. Doesn't mean they were mercenary. No, no, no. They just wanted to protect their son. And so he didn't get a childhood. Michael wanted that back. The second thing Michael wished for was to go to a shopping mall and not have to buy it first.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
To just walk around a mall is, some small thing that we take advantage, you know. Don't even realize that.
Well, Michael Jackson used to rent Disneyland out.
Well, he'd have to.
To do it.
He had to. Otherwise, he'd remember how long it takes Terry to get down Main Street on Disneyland's birthday.
Well, people would be coming at him with all types of scissors and try to cut things off.
Yeah.
Yeah, never know. And the third thing was to walk among people and not be recognized.
Wow.
The third one was given to him by Rick Baker, amazing and wonderful makeup artist that many of you know for the cantina scene in Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
And Rick also did his Thriller video, did all the work in Thriller. Mm-hmm. And he made him into a Jewish little white guy. Made him a 89-year-old Jewish man.
Really?
And Michael walked along Venice and bumped into people purposely, and they go, get away from me, old man! And it was Michael. He loved it. He didn't want to get out of makeup. Rick tells the story often, and Michael told me that he said he was joyful. So what does this mean to you? What's in it for you? All of you listeners out there, what am I trying to tell you? That for all the wealth, all the talent, all the charisma, all the stuff that Michael had, his number one wish was to be just like you. He wanted to be you.
Mm-hmm.
So don't you think if someone like Michael Jackson wants to be you, you should respect you and yes. be you? To take pride in that you're special? Don't let others tell you you're not. Understand that you are a gift. You are a blessing to be human. So give back. Michael taught me a huge lesson. And I'll never forget it. He wants to be me. He wants to squeeze his own tomatoes. You know, he wants to pick his own vegan food.
Yeah.
You know, he wants to stay out and maybe have a nice cocktail and not be bothered, but he can't.
Yeah.
You know, it was something that he just couldn't do. And that can drive you a little mad.
Well, and the crazy thing is, I mean, that's probably something he was never got to experience that.
Never.
And when he did, he would have been way too young to remember, you know, really do anything on his own anyways. That's just, wow.
Y'all were isolated for a year and y'all said you were going crazy. Imagine being isolated all your life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Even if you do have Never Never Land.
Well, even if you think about, you know, with any celebrity, you know, you could, or even not even a celebrity, if you just have money, I feel like it's really hard to be able to trust anybody because you're always wondering, are you hanging around? Are you my friend? Or do you care because you like me and we've got a connection? Or do you like me because I pay for you to go eat dinner at fancy places or you get to come to my house and use the pool or something? I could see how that would be really... You know, you'd have to be, it'd be hard to trust people and then not have all of that.
And you don't want to be cynical. You don't want to be cynical. You want to think about the best of people. So the best thing to do is Whoopi Goldberg. I did 3 films with her and she said, keep your friends around that were friends with you before you were successful.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
They'll make sure you stay, you keep your feet tied to the ground when you need it. When you float up, they'll get you back down to earth.
That's true. That's
good advice.
Well, I think this is a great spot to wrap up because I feel like we could talk forever. And actually, Terry, you know, in the future, if you'd be willing, I'm sure we'd love to have you back on in the future because I'm sure that you just have a wealth of stories that we just, and you're such a great storyteller. I mean, obviously Imagineer, but you're such a great storyteller that it's always, when we were at the Disneyana thing, you had a timer. They gave you a timer. And I remember just thinking, why does she have to have a timer? I wish she could just go on forever because it was so entertaining.
And you remember what I said when I spoke, and this is what I tell people, being late for every minute that you're late to see someone. And I'm not always good at this, okay? Please understand, I am definitely not perfect. But I used to be late to stuff. I mean, not badly late, but I was late a couple minutes, 5 minutes. I try real hard not to do it. I mean, but sometimes, especially since, you know, the pandemic, I'm not driving a lot.
Sure.
I work at home. I mean, I can't judge traffic anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But so sometimes I miss. But Jim Rohn, who was an amazing speaker, the number one speaker in the universe, I think. And he said, for every minute you're late... And for every minute you take extra on a stage when you're a speaker is telling the other speaker that follows you or that person who's waiting for you, you're better than them. You think you're better than them. And if you're sitting there, want to be authentic. I love the word. It's hilarious. If you want to be authentic and yet you're late by a half hour, hour, 20 minutes, you're saying your time isn't as important as mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know
That's
what I mean?
Very true.
Without saying anything, it's your action. So if I want people to understand, then I want to really, like I said, stuff happens. You can't always hit the nail on the head and please don't beat yourself up with it, you know, but understand if you strive to be on time as much as you can, or you just say, look, it's like my hairdresser. It takes 4 hours to do my hair.
Oh.
Okay. It takes about half hour to twist it to make to keep the dreadlocks beautiful, but then it takes like 3.5 to dry it. It just loves water like a mop. I said if they could hang me upside down and use one of those ringers they could do for a mop, we'd get way further. But my hairdresser didn't want to adapt that yet. So but I finally told him, could you just tell me an earlier time so that I'm not late for you, because it's a distance and I don't gauge it well. I said, it's not that I want to be late. I'm just not doing the math.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, and you're important to me. I don't want you to sit around, wait on me. So could you just push it forward? Like we're dating. And he was like, okay, I'll do that, you know. So there's ways you can do it, but you want people to know that they're important to you. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I really do. I'm really honored to be a part of your world. And you guys did me another honor, which was to join the tribe. Yeah. I want to tell you how you're my first, you're my second podcasters that have done it. But many podcasters don't join. And I'm just really glad that you did. And I hope one time that you can be with the tribe and because this is a place where everybody learns to give to others. I like mm-hmm. to train people that if you take something, you give something.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
You know?
I will say, so we became tribe members after seeing you at Disneyana. Mm-hmm. And I had the luxury one of the days that I had some free time, was actually able to catch, because you do these like streams every week.
Yeah.
And I was actually able to sit in on one where you had one of your tribe members she was presenting this whole attraction she had kind of developed. And
yes.
It was fascinating to sit and listen to this. So, you know, my last thing I was going to say was tell everybody where they can find you online if they're interested in this. Like, where can people find what you're doing? Where can people support you if they want to? Where can people find what you're doing next?
If you're one of those people that enjoys boxes falling on you when you pull the one from the bottom, Google me. Oh, my gosh. Somebody says, you ever Googled yourself? And I was like, yeah, what's wrong with my computer? Who is this person? but just Google Terry Hart, and it kind of gives you everything, gives you everything. But then you can also find me on Instagram, Terry Hart and Legend. And then, somebody said they all should be the same, but I'm social media is a real challenge for someone 65. I'm going to admit to that. You can find me on Facebook. Terry's Tribe is a Patreon page. Mm-hmm. So it's patreon.com/Terry Harden. It is a membership, but I keep the membership. I have a very affordable membership, and that's the one I'm delivering on now. I realize that I'm a unicorn, and if you're a unicorn, you got to just own it. I spent a lot of time saying, I'm not that unique. Yeah. And people go, yeah, baloney. And I realize that I am unique, and I've got to embrace it, but I want to show you how you can be unique as well. So I do my Patreon page very differently. I invite everybody in for about $5 a month. I don't do the yearly. They encourage you to do yearly membership, but I don't do that because if a person doesn't find it something for them, I want them to be able to get out. And in the yearly membership, it's more challenging to get your money back. So $5 a month, you lose that $5. Okay, you're out of Starbucks. I'm sorry. But it helps keep the YouTube channel free, and it helps me to be present because you got to have skin in the game. Mm-hmm. To respect me, and I have to have skin in the game to respect you. And so I'll always over deliver, and patreon.com/Terry Harden, check it out. There are higher tiers, but I really tell people, start at the $5 tier, see how you like it, dip a toe in the water, play the hokey pokey, left foot in. If you like it, great. If you don't, take that left foot out and go on with your life. I'm not going to be upset. I'm not going to look at you angrily. How dare you leave and all that kind of stuff. I just want to be, I want your voice is just as important as my voice. That's the thing that's so cool about Patreon. I was drafted into Patreon. I didn't have a choice. I had a friend who invited me, and I thought she could use this money if I can do this right. And Patreon has an incentive where the person who recommends you gets some money if you do it quickly, if you get your page up. Not so easy to do, but I did it for her. And it was awful. It was just terrible, you know, and but I did well. And now I'm realizing as the page has grown, that the community is together because we help each other. Just like you were saying, Tage, this girl wanted to design an attraction. One girl wanted to paint the castle. So during the pandemic, I would broadcast for 5 or 6 hours on Mondays and 5 or 6 hours on Fridays, because people would write to me and say, this pandemic is killing me and there's no Disneyland. I feel like there's nothing left for me. like mm-hmm. sounding a little suicidal. Yeah. And that makes you really scared. You say, what can I do to save your life? Mm-hmm. If me being on a broadcast, yapping about this terrain, that's great for 5 hours. My husband is like, you're on your sixth hour. The pandemic. They need the Terry radio show. Now that we're back, I'm starting to taper it off. But some of my broadcasts are very long. And the reason they are is because people really needed it. Mm-hmm. Now I'm telling them, you know, you guys have got lives. You've got to get out into the world and see people now. I mean, the pandemic is still not perfect, so I'll go a little over an hour. But Patreon is a place where everyone helps each other. And because it's a private, we're behind a gate. We really talk some heavy stuff. We really dig in because people have to be able to talk about things that are hurting them or they're curious about or they don't understand without being blasted.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's very important.
The internet, because there is no face-to-face, people tear people down.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, they just rip them apart. And you're like, my goodness, you know. And so I don't want that. I don't want anyone in the tribe to feel like that if they have something they really want to get off their chest.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the very first speech I gave. I talked about my mother crying and me crying as she tried to use a comb in my hair. Okay, a classic comb for white people doesn't work on people of colors. We may never find it again. So my poor mother, who had no way of working, learning how to comb my hair, I'm crying, she's crying. Mm-hmm. And she looks up at my dad, and my dad says, well, I'll take you up to see my family. And my family sat my sweet little innocent 19-year-old white mother down in a chair and pulled out an iron board, set the iron on wool, and said, come here, baby. And they laid my hair on the ironing board and ironed it. This is how you get a comb through it. This is how you straighten it. They ironed my hair. This is what you do with this hair.
Yeah.
That's how it works. And my mother was just aghast. What? You know? Mm-hmm. But so I tell this story, and a very sweet young lady who is white as the driven snow and her hair looks the same dry as it does wet. So jealous of her. And and she said to me, she says, I'm so excited because I married a man and he's a black man, but I'm afraid to have children. Now, this is something that you don't necessarily want to say in public because people would hit you on the internet.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I said, why are you afraid? She says, I don't know what to do with the hair. I don't have any, you know, experience with the hair. She says, I don't know what to do. And he wants kids and I want kids. But what do I do? And I said, have a boy. And that's what she did, Teresa. She laughed. I said, you did your buzz cut it. Do the Stones action. Do a sculpture. You're done. And she giggled. But a few days later, she had a boy.
Oh.
So it's you know, it's just one of those. I'll say it with humor. I'll say it with kindness because my hero is my father. But a person should be able to ask those questions without getting knocked upside the head. They're curious. They just want people sometimes don't know what they don't know. And so you've got to have, and I've seen, oh Lord, I've seen it, you know, like you said, we'll have me back. Weird things that people do to touch Terry's hair.
No. Oh, no. No.
Next time on.
And you just said, next time on our podcast, it won't be about Disney. It'll be about people trying to touch Terry's hair. Why not just ask? But.
Oh no.
Wow.
I'm like thinking about people coming at Michael with scissors and I'm hoping that one of your stories doesn't involve scissors.
Oh jeez.
No.
Well, I'll tell you one part of it. I was at Seeing Tall Ships. I was at an event where my husband loves beautiful sailing ships. He used to sail and he sings ship shanties, you know, and he's just he plays the bagpipes and he has a concertina. He's amazing. And so so we go to see the tall ships, you know, set sail, bow, stern. Yeah. You know, he's really into it. And he's really. And I'm walking around and I see this lady see me. The funny thing is I see people see me because I look so unusual. So their reactions are rather large, even though they don't think so. People are like, what the heck is that kind of a face? You know? So she's looking at my hair because it's dreadlocks and it's blonde. Mm-hmm. And that's unusual to people. I don't think it's that unusual, but apparently at the time it was this lady. Mm-hmm. So you can see her calculating in her brain what she's going to do. And true story, guys, she fakes a trip, reaches out to me and grabs my hair for support.
No.
And I helped her up and said, next time, just ask. What are you talking about? I said, if you want to touch my hair next time, just ask me. I did not wake up and go, what happened to my hair? You know, I know people want to touch it. And, you know, I did a commercial in Buenos Aires. They all had to rub my hair. It's a thing. You know, I don't know what it is, but it was a thing. Can I touch your hair? Yes. Touch it. You know, mm-hmm. And it's because it's blonde. They don't necessarily always say this to black people. But with me, because it's that definite line down the middle, they feel comfortable enough to ask me. God made me this way for a reason. And I say it's because to be an emissary for everybody to know that everybody is wonderful. If you have a question about it, you're not a racist. You just are asking a question. Mm-hmm. I don't understand your culture. I don't understand. I'd like to understand.
Well, and I think that that's an important distinction. Is I think when people ask questions, it's what's the intention behind it? Like, what is the, you know, like everybody has things they just don't know about and they mm-hmm. want to ask about. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of things on the internet. There's a site called Reddit, and I've been really into this. One of the like forum areas on there was No Stupid Questions, and people ask questions that are really great, but people feel like they don't want to ask because they think it's a stupid question. And they're like, well, I must be the only person who doesn't know this. But I'll tell you, I've learned so much from that because people ask questions. And I'm like, that's a brilliant question. Why don't people ask these things? And so I think that, and it's not that they're trying to be, you know, like with you and your hair and stuff. I think a lot of people are just curious, but they feel like it's taboo. They can't talk about it because what are you going to think? Or do you think that I'm racist or whatever about it? And sometimes it's just a curiosity, but nowadays you don't kind of know where that line is and you don't want to mm-hmm. offend anybody. Mm-hmm. So there you go. If you see Terry Harden, ask her questions.
I'll tell you if it's inappropriate. Okay. You know, I remember going to Kansas and a person said, you can't be white. Okay, they didn't know how to ask that question, and I think they were a little racist, actually, but you can't be white, you know? You know, no way two black people, you know, a black person and a white person can have a white child. It just doesn't happen. I said, well, you got me.
You're like, well, here I am.
You got me, because I was just going to have my husband run down and get, you know, 30 gallons of milk and do my annual milk bath. Keeps my son, you know. And she looked at me like I was telling her the truth. My husband.
Oh, my gosh.
Terry and her smart aleck behavior.
So
I'm just saying, it's just try to have a little compassion for your fellow man. Think mm-hmm. first. Mm-hmm. If they're being racist, you can tell when someone is snarling at you and saying some really terrible comments about you. And it can be across the board. You don't have to be a people of color. You can be a different religion. You can be a different, you know,
just different.
You're just different.
Yeah.
And the way sometimes a person asks because it's the only way they know how to ask. So first say, rather than jump to the race card, which I always like to say, my father always said, don't jump to the race card, jump, you know, say to yourself, maybe they just don't know. So give them that little, and then if they prove you wrong, then you can label, you know?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But in today's world, we're very reactionary and I don't think it's fair to others because there are areas in this world that are not necessarily as integrated as others. And so there are many people that just have never known how to relate. This isn't a bad thing.
Yeah.
You know, you just, you know, my best friend said, you know, she grew up in a place where there weren't many little kids of color. Mm-hmm. So when she got to high school and she saw a lot of people of color, she was so curious, you know, and she just started asking, but sometimes she got clocked and sometimes she, you know, but she tried to be, she just was so curious. She just wanted to know, talk to me. So that's what I live. And I'm more than happy to come on, you know that. But like you said, keeping even the questions a bit concise, I'm still going to make you have to wear bunny slippers.
Oh, yeah. Well, that brings us to our last question for this round.
Ding,
ding, ding.
And let's just, I'm curious to see what you're going to say. So if you could work at Disneyland again, I suppose, it's kind of like you didn't work directly. I don't know. It's what would you do? Sky's the limit. It could be any job, even a made up job.
Well, right now I'm the Come Here, Get Away, Imagineer. Did you know that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So this is my catbird job. I love this job. So when I went back to Disney a few years after leaving Imagineering and going off to work with all kinds of people, Disney asked me back to help them catch up. I'm the kind of the ketchup queen. not the red ketchup, but if you're behind in your phone something, I can help you out because I'm really good at this. And so they asked, they were behind on Shanghai, and they asked me if I would come out to Shanghai and sculpt with them. But I had started a little prototyping company called Terry Harden Designs. It still exists because I didn't want to stop having Terry Harden Designs.
Yeah.
So they said, well, you've got to close your company. You can't be an Imagineer under our umbrella. Mm. And many people would have said, okay, walked away or okay, and dissolved their company. But I turned to them and I said, well, you called me. How can I be of service? How can I help you and keep my company? Mm-hmm. That's the question you need to ask. Don't be afraid, especially if they're calling you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and say, definitely. This is what I need. This is what I want. And how can I help you? Because I want to help you. And they decided to make me what's called an independent contractor. Someone they take out of the box. Pop up, sculpt, and then back in the box. For the next time. So that's the come here, we need you, get away. And I don't mind when they get away. So as people say, former Imagineer. No, I'm still an Imagineer. I'm just one of those that's on a bungee. You know, they bungee me up, sculpt, pull me back. Okay, next time, you know? And I love it. I really love it. And it's a very lovely, for me, it's the perfect relationship because then it allows me to do a few things that I like to do and I love to do. And I'm they respect me because I respect them. Mm-hmm. And it's a really great job. It's a job kind of, I think, probably shouldn't say it here because it's public, but it's kind of like you have your cake and eat it too job, in my opinion. I really am happy. You know, I don't mind being last hired, first fired, you know, so there are people that don't want to be fired, but I'm 65. So for me, it's, you know, I've done a lot of stuff. I'm telling you, don't Google me.
Unless you have quite a lot of time.
Unless you have boxes falling on your head and it's not bragging. It's just danger, Will Robinson. Yeah. You know, and that's absolutely true. So I like being in a position where I can just say, I want to help you. I love you. Mm-hmm. I love the company. I'm really proud to have been a part of Imagineering when Tony Baxter said was the best time to be an Imagineer. So I say once an Imagineer, always an Imagineer. And in my case, it's absolutely true. So when clubs or organizations like yours, so the Disney Anna Fan Club you brought up, Tage, and the Legends Award they gave me, which was was a real honor. They asked me if I could do a sketch for them. For all of you who attended. Mm-hmm. And I said, sure. You know, and they said, will Disney let you? And I said, I'm independent. I can do what I want. I can do that sketch. I'm allowed to do that sketch. It's an agreement. You know, if you ask Disney, they may disavow all knowledge, but that's their business. You know, but the point is that I did this lovely sketch for everyone as a thank you. And they came to me and they said they loved it so much that they gave you both.
Yes, they're beautiful.
It was beautiful.
Thank you. But what really knocked their heads off was I said, do you want the original to auction?
Yeah.
And they were like, what? You know, I have this, there's more where that came attitude. I'm you know, I'm the sculptor. So you know, if you're a charity and you want me to help you out, invite me to the gala so I can talk about it and I'll make something really nice, you know, for you. To auction and raise money. And the Disney and a fan club had told me they needed to get to D20. They needed to get to D23. Mm-hmm. Everybody got hit by the pandemic.
Yeah.
So they had to get to D23. So they were trying to raise funds for D23. I said, well, let me kick this in there. And they were just delighted. I was delighted because I haven't been painting and doing pen and nail, this kind of illustration, since I was 7. I mean, I drew all the time. Mm-hmm. The paint, I kind of left that to the professionals. Mm-hmm. Now I'm working to be one myself. I'm really enjoying painting. And the first painting, I think they, not the Disney and a fan club, but the charity probably threw in the trash. Didn't want to tell me because it was so bad. It was great, Terry. You know, they wouldn't tell me, well, who got it? Da-da-da. They loved it. They loved it. You know? But now, it, you know, everybody's got to realize your journey is your journey when you start something new, but start something new because there's always a beginning, but it could be a lovely end. So,
and
yeah,
then you can you could be the auctioneer for it too.
That was actually really cool to watch you auction off your own piece.
Yeah.
And then get to hand it off to the winner. That was actually really, really cool.
Have you guys ever done an event? Here you are, you do an event. And this is what happens on the back of the house. Okay. You what you do when you do an event is you only show the people the front of the house. Mm-hmm. If there's chaos in the back, you don't tell them. You keep everything right out of the front. I think this has got to be the most split personality job. It's someone who owns a restaurant.
Yeah.
There's a fire in the kitchen, but you can't tell the people who are out in the front that you're trying to put a fire out in the kitchen or you've got a drunk. I don't know. But I just don't know how they do it. They're amazing. I love chefs. Mm-hmm. I love people who run restaurants, and I try to understand what they do because it's really hard. The same with people who plan an event.
Mm-hmm.
So it was supposed to be me and Kim Irvine.
Yep.
And that morning, Kim Irvine said she's got COVID. She was really praying she didn't get COVID. She got COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, and I remember the president saying, please don't tell anyone, Terry. Let me announce it. Of course, I'll let you announce it. Of course, I will. And, you know, but afterwards they said, thank God you were the other guest.
Because even though you are as bad as math as I am.
Yes, terrible at math. I let everybody else do it. And I make it a party. You guys had it up. Where am I, Brian?
Yes.
What's happening? Come on.
You know, that was hilarious. You're like, we're at 5:50, so the next one's what's happening?
They everybody laughs and everybody likes it, and they want me to do it again. And I was like, I'm more than happy to do that for them. But that's what I'm talking about. They was like, thank goodness, because everybody enjoyed themselves.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, now Kim will come back and she'll do her thing. I was so sorry that I wasn't going to see her, but the point is that. This is what you do. What can I do to make your life easier? What can we do to make them happy? And that's what you do. And that's what I think everybody, if everybody did that, this world would be so, so lovely. There's a little bit to me, I. And if you stop and think, you make it you know, there's no I in teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a nice phrase, but do you live it or do you just spout off?
Terry, it has been an absolute pleasure. I can't think of many people that I'd like to talk to for almost 3 hours in one go without a break, without going to the bathroom, with anything than you. I think we both had such a great time. Yes. So much so that, like I said, we would love to have you on again because I feel like we could have an entire podcast, like an actual like show, like a podcast, a whole like a series with you. And I think we'd never run out of stuff. So thank you for being so generous with your time and coming and being on our little show that Teresa likes to joke. And she said this numerous times on the podcast before that when we started doing this and I told her we should do a podcast that she thought like nobody was going to listen to it. And yet now here we are talking to an Imagineer who's made some amazing things. And so it's been such a pleasure.
Thank you. It's my honor. I really enjoyed myself. I don't do things that I don't enjoy. You both are just absolute salt of the earth, lovely people, family now. So sometimes when you know you feel you can do your podcast, Insomniac version, and we can just get the bunny slippers, the popcorn, and say, let's see how long we can go. You know? And there's a friend of mine, I don't know how long you've been on Patreon, but Joe Mino, who does every Friday from 5 o'clock. What did he say? It's 5 o'clock, 5 o'clock Eastern till 5 o'clock AM, till 5 p.m. to 5 a.m. and they build Legos.
Wow.
Oh, wow. He does the whole, it's a Zoom, and they do it for that whole,
whole time.
He's there the whole time. And what happens is people from all the world, as their time slot gets doable, They plug in.
Wow.
And he does this every Friday. And I got to tell you both, what I love about it is I tend to stay up late so I can, if I have a question for him, I always do it around midnight because I know he's up.
Wow, that's
Isn't
incredible.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah,
that
is that's amazing. Really amazing.
I mean, I've seen people do it as a YouTube joke, but I mean, for real, it could be, you know, it could be a marathon storytelling thing and maybe, you know, people PayPal money and we give it to a favorite charity. You just
there you go.
Wonderful. Wow.
We could do. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to do it. It's been an honor. Thank you.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And if you want to hear more from Terry and you didn't get enough from the probably three episodes of her we're going to have together now and future stuff, go join her tribe. Yes. She talks for a long time. But also, like you said, there's people that go on there that are really interesting mm-hmm. folks that are not Terry. But Terry kind of cultivates this, which I think yes. is wonderful.
Yes. Very cool.
Thank you so much.
Please remain seated until the podcast comes to a complete stop and the doors have opened. Then collect your belongings, watch your head, and step carefully from the episode. On behalf of all of our crew, thanks for traveling with us. And we hope you have a happy and memorable visit here at DL Weekly.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus chews.